to you live from our studios in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is season two of the Big 80 TVs podcast with your hosts, Scott and Stacy.
Season two. I'm your host, Scott. Our co-host, Stacy, will be joining us shortly. And we'd like to welcome all of our listeners back, all 14 of you that come back to for season two of this debauchery and recklessness that we broadcast out onto the interwebs. The season, the fantasy football groups have changed just a little bit. And so we're just going to do a quick rundown here. And then we'll go to the ever popular Sports Minute with DB Jeff, who is returning this year. So we had one departure from the league and we have one new addition. Now, of course, yours truly, Scott. I'm here with my team. I am Kate. We also have the homeless guy, Keith, returning with us with What You Gonna Do, Brother. We also have our commissioner, Stacy, returning, of course, with Jamal About the Base. And then, of course, DB Jeff is here with Stacy Swallows 21%. I'm not really sure what that means, and I'm not even going to speculate on that one. We have Travis returning, feeling that breeze into Hilton, whatever that means. Again, I'm just going to play ignorant on all of this. Our newest member is Swifty. He's straight out of Groton. And so it's great that we've diversified into a whole new age group. And so then we've also got the lovely and talented Aaron, which you'll remember was my co-host last year. The lovely and talented Aaron has gone off to college. And so you're stuck with me and Stacy, who will be joining me momentarily on the telephones. Last but definitely not least is Grandpa Phil, but I can't even say his name because it's just a bunch of Japanese characters. We're actually concerned about dementia in that category. So why don't we go ahead and we'll just jump right into this. We'll go straight to the Sports Minute with DB Jeff, and then we'll be on the phones with Commissioner Stacy.
This Sports Minute is brought to you by Opium. If you're trying to draft your team away before one snap is taken, you're addicted to opium. Okay, sports fans, let's get down to business. Great draft, everyone, except for Scott, Aaron, Stacy, and borderline homeless guy. I'm not sure what happened this year, but Ben Roethlisberger taken in the third round. Yeah, no one's banging down the door there. A kicker in the 12th round, and am I missing something? A kicker in the 14th round, then dropped on waivers. Yes, draft madness. A message to Aaron and Scott. Bye weeks are real, and they actually do happen. My winners this week are Stacy Swallows, 21%, straight out of Groton, don't listen to me, I don't know anything, and what you gonna do, brother? If you're a man and you purchase a white iPhone in a brown leather case, you have no right to claim knowledge of football. Enjoy the games. I'm Douchebag Jeff.
Communication.
That's always the case.
Here?
Yes.
Well, you're saying that every time you play here, you have radio.
I said what I said.
For the love of everything sacred and holy, would you please shut your yapper?
All right, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm joined now by the fabulous Commissioner Stacy. Commissioner, how are you, sir?
I am well. Good to be back. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm excited about season two. I'm excited not only about season two of the podcast, but I'm excited about this season too. We've made a few changes around the league here. How are you feeling about some of the changes we made?
Oh, I'm loving the changes. It's going to be more competitive, and just the fact to be back. I mean, it's a long off season, and most of us live for this. And it's, you know, game is on. I mean, we've already had the Patriots game, and now we're in full swing starting tomorrow. Should be interesting.
Absolutely, I agree. And so it's much harder to accuse you of internal collusion because one of your nephews has left the league. The other one is still there, but he seems to be kind of taken on his own right now. And so you're kind of a man without a country, right?
Yeah, well, I wanted to get rid of all that, you know, all the accusations that were groundless and had no merit to them whatsoever. But, you know, we didn't have much Wyatt didn't play much last year. We could tell he didn't care. So good to see him out, and we have Swiftly in, and nice to see him in. He had a pretty good draft. He looks to be ready to go, and he's going to make it an interesting year. Definitely more competitive, which is really what we needed. So
yeah,
we'll see how Travis goes, but he's still on thin ice, let's say.
Well, yeah, he'll do his own thing right there. I'm glad we have Swifty in the league with us now, or Swiftly, as our iPhones like to autocorrect him to. And we're reaching a whole new demographic, because I think he is, quite frankly, the oldest in the group. I'm pretty sure he's like 68 or something like that.
Really?
No, I'm not really sure how old he actually is. But it's good. We got a whole new. Go ahead.
A 68-year-old Indian chief?
Yeah, chief. Well, he's something. There's also accusations going around about his sexual preferences, but that goes around this league to all people. So, all right, well, let's move on here and take a look at. So let's just very quickly how we finished last year. And so, actually, how did it finish last year, Stacy? What was the final outcome of our championship?
Well, Grandpa Boods, Boods, was the champion. He beat Aaron in the finals. In what wasn't a close game, really, Yaya Boots had probably one of the worst teams in the league, I think, but kept winning again with his voodoo, and it really came up once again in the finals because Aaron's team, which was really operating on all cylinders, he's putting up big points all throughout the playoffs. He didn't show up. I don't remember the exact score, but I know Aaron didn't score more than 80 points, probably. So it was more of that voodoo. And congratulations,
Grandpa. Grandpa Phil takes it. He takes it away from Aaron, who was looking for a three-peat and bragging, in fact, before the actual game that he was going to take a three-peat. And, of course, the lovely and talented Aaron, a.k.a. Raymond, is off to college right now. So I'm curious
college
about
man.
How distracted he'll be this year with all of the beautiful young ladies running around campus.
Well, if his draft picks this year are any indication, I'd say he's going to be in trouble and he's going to have fun in college.
Well, let's take a look at some of the draft picks. So what were some of the – so your overall thoughts on the draft? How did it go, first of all?
Well, I think I can talk about, you know, the report card that ESPN had put out for us. I don't necessarily agree with it. But first I want to talk about my strategy and versus your strategy. This year I decided that I wouldn't do notes. I wouldn't take players and cross players off who I absolutely didn't want, people who I would jump up to get earlier than their actual ESPN ranking positions. I probably did about 500 drafts starting in July, mock drafts. it was a lot of fun, took up a lot of time, and I felt that given I was drafting in the four spot where I would in this league, I really just knew who was falling my way, and it really became easy. I didn't have to think. I didn't have to go to my notes. It was much more fluid, and I felt very confident going into the draft. But then once Keith starts taking Ben Roethlisberger in the third round and everyone else, I got thrown off. I was completely lost, and I think my draft picks, they really suffered as a result of this poor strategy that I had. So
you know, And I kind of alluded to this in our texting thread, that the number two position, so I was drafting number two just behind DB Jeff, and that position actually is a difficult one to draft in. First of all, you don't get the first pick, so that's inevitable. But then you have to wait till the 15th pick now to get another pick, and then you don't get a back-to-back like the person who gets first pick. They get the back-to-back at the end of the second round and then the start of the third round. You have to wait till 18th. And so, I mean, look at the depth of the running backs available, because that's where everyone tends to want to go to right away. And you get one of them, obviously, because you're the second pick. But then when you get to 15, that's it. There's really no running backs. There's no meat left on the bone.
No, so yeah, they're off the board pretty early, yeah. Yeah.
And then I saw the panic button. I saw Andrew Luck go. I saw Gronkowski go. I saw Antonio Brown go. And I go, what is going on with these people? My whole strategy was get a good running back to start, and then maybe on my 15th and 18th, which are the second and third round drafts, I could probably grab a good wide receiver and a good quarterback. And the whole strategy just blew up once they started pulling Luck and Gronk and everybody else out of the mix right there in the first and second round.
Yep, absolutely. And truly we can see how thin running backs, or at least everybody perceives running backs to be this year. I mean, I'm sure there's backs that are going to emerge, but nobody knows who that is yet. Nobody has any good flex backs right now, with the exception of a few teams. So it's going to be an interesting year.
I think the key word for this season on the draft was, you know, everybody's a prospect. Once you got past the top
tier, the top echelon of either running backs, wide receivers, and quarterbacks, everything was speculation after that. You were speculating as to who was going to come in and be a superstar down the road. I mean, you know, Carlos Hyde was one, right? So that's one that I grabbed on speculation, but was appeared to be a good grab. But I also grabbed Tyrod Taylor, the Buffalo quarterback, because I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of buzz about him, but I, you know, unproven, just don't know what to do there. So I got him on the bench this week. We'll see how he performs, and maybe he'll be a superstar. But I think that story's true in all of our teams.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. A lot of long shots. Eddie Royal was my long shot. I think he's played with Cutler in the past and had some of his best numbers then. So I'm hoping maybe something, you know, comes out of that. But, you know, like I said, we really don't know. Back to the draft, though, some of the – or two of the biggest problems that or mistakes that I think everybody made was that LeSean McCoy we let go to the sixth round. Nobody, everybody kept skipping over him, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe people don't have faith in Buffalo. I'm sure I didn't, because I didn't pick him up when I easily could have. I looked at some of the players I picked in front of him, and I'm frankly angry with myself. And then Greg Olsen went in the 10th round. Two big mistakes, but I think people are going to be regretting that later in the season. But
possibly. Phil picked up LeSean McCoy in what you said, the 6th round, I think it was. Who grabbed who was the second one you named?
DB Jeff with Greg Olsen.
DB Jeff grabbed
10th round.
Greg Olsen, that's right. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. So overall, though, who do you think had the actual best draft?
Well, I've been bashing him because, frankly, he's very rude, and I try to send him a trade, and he just comes back with just attacking my players and my team and my moral character, and it was a simple trade offer. So
yeah,
I'm
but
really
yeah, before you go on, though, before you go on, I just got to say those are all easy targets.
They are.
But no, go ahead.
Without giving him too much credit, the returning champion, Yaya Boudz, he had the best draft. I looked at this several times over. It's close between him and DB Jeff, but when it comes down to the benches, Yaya Boudz has a much, much stronger bench. So I'm going to have to give him the top drafting report card or the A-plus for his draft, unfortunately. I will never say that on the text threads, and I will continue to wage war against him. But I think him, DB Jeff, Mr. Pence, probably the three best in my estimation. What's your feeling?
So I I'm in agreement with that. I think Jeff's in a very strong position there. I'm not sure about Keith. A couple of homer picks there, obviously.
I mean,
Roethlisberger put up a few points the other night, but I just don't see him really being a consistent producer all season long. I do think that Grandpa Phil, he did pretty well in the draft. I don't feel good about my draft at all. And so let me ask you this question then. Who do you think really had the worst draft?
I'm sorry, Mr. Comtois. I'm going to have to go with you.
I mean
that in
agreement.
The nicest way possible.
No, I'm in complete agreement. It was – so I'm sitting there. I'm doing the draft. My strategy blew up by the end of the second round, and that was it. I mean, and then it was just panic mode after that. And then trying to make decisions very quickly with each round of it, I just – you know what? I blew it. I know I did. But I banked a lot. It's not a bad team, but I banked a lot on prospects that I think could shine this season. And it could be the other way around. But, again,
well,
just
here,
don't
here,
know.
Let me give you an honest assessment. The Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy issue of having the same running back and quarterback on the same team, really not as bad of an issue for you because Eddie Lacy does catch the ball despite being completely obese. And you have A.J. Green. You have Alshon Jeffrey, who could have a big year so long as he's healthy. And Jason Witten, I think, is going to have a nice year. So especially without DeMarco Murray there, there's going to be a committee of running backs over there, and I think they're going to get Witten involved around in the red zone a lot more. Todd Gurley on your bench, we'll see. But the rest of your bench, not so sure. Maybe Andre Johnson, you know, has a revival now that he's down in Indianapolis. So you don't have the – it didn't look good initially, but I'm saying you could definitely turn your team around.
Well, if there's any lesson to be learned from last season is you can win a championship on the waiver wires. That's what Grandpa Phil taught us all season long. Well, and a little voodoo, I think, goes a long way.
Absolutely.
So let's take a look at the matchups this week. So I'm going up against the homeless guy Keith, and right now it's projected. I'm projected to win by 1 point, but I'm not standing tall on that. What do you think? How do you think that matchup's going to go?
Let's see here. I am Kate. What you going to do, brother? 96-97. That's a close one. That's a tough one to call. He had good quarterback play, like we said, out of Roethlisberger. Your matchups, though, I remember looking at your team thinking that you had some favorable matchups with your players this week. So I'm going to give the edge to you.
Okay.
That Chicago game is going to be good for you. I think that the Green Bay is going to just even though they're away, they're going to kill Chicago, and you're going to put up some good points. I think Rodgers probably goes for three touchdowns, and I'd say Eddie Lacy goes for two. So that's going to put you in a good position.
I'm hoping that it's a good week for me to start, and then start building with some of those prospects down the road here. How about you're matched up against Jeff, and of course ESPN is projecting right now that Jeff's going to beat you, but just by 4 points. I mean, again, it's another close one. How do you feel about that matchup?
That matchup, I like my team, and I say that because Jeff hasn't beat me in, I believe, three matchups now, which is about a year and a half's worth of time. And again, I'm one of those players that I think I have some favorable matchups week one maybe I don't, actually. I'm sorry. Looking at my team again. I don't have many favorable matchups. I take that back. We're going to go with DB Jeff on that game.
Let me ask you on your team, though. How do you feel about Jamaal Charles? And it's personal with me, obviously, because I rode the Jamaal Charles train for 2 years and got nowhere with it.
I had Jamaal Charles in 2013, so obviously I'm going to love him. He approached 2,000 yards that season. Stayed healthy, which is a big one for him, is staying healthy. So here's what it is. I'm not huge on Jamaal Charles, but I did pick up Niles Davis as a handcuff. And when you're in the four spot, Lacy, Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson have gone before you. There's no question about it. Am I going to take Lynch over Jamaal Charles? No, especially at Lynch's age. Jamaal Charles is still under 30, still one of the best backs in the league. Health is a question mark for him, but they got a great line over there, an improved line in Kansas City as well. So a lot of the pundits are saying that Jamaal Charles is poised, so long as he stays healthy, to have that 2013 type of season, which I would absolutely love. But if he doesn't, I feel safe in putting Niles Davis in. I mean, you can't have Charles without Davis, and that's a mistake a lot of people have made, I've seen in our league in the past. And Niles Davis is one of those automatic handcuffs that you have to have if you have Jamaal Charles. So I like him.
I agree with that. When I think of Jamaal Charles, the word fragile comes to my mind, and
absolutely.
I'm always afraid of it. That's all. That's my feeling on him. All right. So the next matchup, we got Swifty going up against Travis, and I'll just say right here, I think Swifty's just going to bury him alive.
I do too. I think picking Gronkowski, who is an, you know, it's early. I get it. There's only been one NFL game, but boy, if Gronkowski is healthy, if he plays the way he looked the other night, we're talking MVP. And Swifty's got a good team on top of that. Swifty had some smart pickups at running back. I love the Justin Forsett pickup. So I think he's going to have, you know, we'll see how his trades are. We haven't really got him in the swing of things with trades. Is he somebody that completely depletes his team or makes it better? Or doesn't do anything? We've seen in the past in our league, if you don't trade or if you make bad trades, you're not going to win this. So he's a first-year rookie to our league, so we'll see how that works out. But initially, Justin Forsett and Chris Ivory, I like those picks at running back. He has T.J. Yeldon and Doug Martin, which are very interesting running back picks. I don't believe in Doug Martin. A lot of hype about him right now. T.J. Yeldon, though, I think could be an every-down back over in Jacksonville. And I'm interested to see Jacksonville tomorrow. It's one of those teams like Minnesota. I just don't know what they're going to be. And their play, you know, players and their fantasy values are going to really, you know, we're going to find out what they're all about come tomorrow. So
TJ Yeldon's one I'm eyeballing out there. I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to go. Very promising.
Four trades for him already. And Swifty ain't letting him up.
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't even had our first matchups yet, and you got four trades out to him, two to me, four or five. You know, I think everybody's kind of looking at you like you're hitting the crack pipe a little hard this year.
Well, we know I have a trade problem. Yep. I like setting the groundwork. You know, just greasing the wheels, letting people know I'm out there. I didn't expect to get any trades through, and I didn't. But let's come Monday night, Tuesday, the trades will start happening. I can assure you that.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing is, I got to give a little credit to Travis here. I mean, he doesn't have slackers standing on top. You know, he's got Drew Brees and C.J. Anderson, which I'm partial to. Was my waiver wire pickup last year that just salvaged me from being in last place. And you know, and this is the other thing, Arizona, Andre Ellington, I don't know if it's my gut or whatever. I think he's going to have a great year this year. That's my feeling.
Another fragile guy, though. He's little.
Yeah, that is true. I'll give you that. All right, and so now the last matchup we've got is It's Easy, which you were kind enough to translate for me. It's in Chinese letters, and it says It's Easy. It's Grandpa Phil or Yaya Bud, and he's going up against the lovely and talented Aaron. And right now ESPN's got it projected that Grandpa Phil's going to spank him something fierce. But let me put an asterisk next to that. Aaron is not afraid to go into a matchup with the lowest ESPN projection, and he still wins. Aaron's still a pretty talented fantasy football player, even though he's distracted by all of the shorty shorts on campus. So what do you think is going to happen with that matchup?
That's a great point. Aaron knows better than to look at the ESPN rankings, and I think his draft reflects that. Still don't think it's the greatest draft, but I'll definitely give you that point. But again, Antonio Brown puts up 19, Tom Brady puts up 35, and then even again, gave Phil a lot of hard time about his tight end situation, and he got 8 points out of Heath Miller. So I think Yaya Boots runs away with this one handily. But I don't think that means that will happen every week, and I think Aaron's team will be just fine.
Yeah, I think interesting pickup with Ryan Tannehill. In my pre-draft strategy, Tannehill was my backup quarterback choice, but Aaron ended up picking him up. I wasn't sure if I would put him on the top, but Tannehill's another one where I think we could see a resurrection of a career and somebody really shoot the lights out. Yeah, absolutely. Calvin Johnson, what do you feel about Calvin Johnson this year? Because last year he was obviously a letdown.
Well, there's some trade. The only serious trade talks I've had all week were with young Aaron about Calvin Johnson. It was actually Beef Stew, Jonathan Stewart, for Calvin Johnson. So you can see where Aaron puts him, as well as I do. I didn't even pull the trigger on the trade because, again, Megatron could come out. He could be incredible, but I mean, I had him on my team last year. I had to suffer through all those high ankle sprains. Will he play? Will he not play? They don't tell you until 1 o'clock on Sunday. Real pain in the you-know-what, okay? I'm not going to make you edit first week, but no.
So, thank you.
You know, everybody knows what Megatron can do, but we're scared, will he do it or will he get injured? So too many question marks with that guy right now.
All right. So interesting matchups this week. That'll be good. Let's just kind of move to, you know, we used to have Rain Man's picks, but unfortunately the lovely and talented Aaron is distracted at the moment. So I'll just kind of run by you. I've got a few ideas in a few different positions here. Let's start with running back. Who do you think is going to really shine this week?
Running backs this week, I don't know who I like. I got to be honest with you. I don't know what's going to happen this NFL season. I mean, we could throw out some of the obvious ones. I think that Lynch over in St. Louis could have a big week. I don't know. Who are you thinking? I'll comment on that.
Well, I mean, I think the obvious ones are going to be AP, Lacy, McCoy, Lynch. I mean, those are easy, right?
Sure.
There's one I got my eye on this week. It's Lamar Miller. I think he's going to have a stellar season, and I think he's going to do all right this week as well. And the other one is Carlos Hyde. I think he's going to be a big win. I know ESPN's projecting him to do 11 points, but I got to believe I just got my eye on him. Him and Lamar Miller. I think people are underestimating what Miami could do this year.
Oh, absolutely. With their retooled defense, we know what their offense can do. And Lamar Miller, he really hasn't come out of his shell yet. He's one of the fastest backs in the league, believe it or not. So, yeah, absolutely, he could have a big day. Waiting to see it. He didn't even have some injury problems last year. And Hyde, well, of course, with Gore out of town, Hyde's going to be the guy. He's going to get his touches. Not a great passing game over there. Just get worried about, you know, losing Coach Harbaugh over there, losing some key defensive players. If San Francisco's as bad as I think they're going to be, and I think it's a safe assumption that they will, I get worried that Hyde won't get the touches because they're going to be throwing the ball because they're going to be behind in a lot of games. Much like the Al Morris pickup that I had that I'm just freaking out about. I'm begging people to take Al Morris from me because I don't know why I picked such a good running back on such a horrible, horrible team. So, yeah. I'll tell you one pick that I do have, and it's a homer pick because it's my guy. Late round pick, I think it was ninth round, I picked up Jay Stew, Beef Stew as I like to call him, and he's playing Jacksonville this week, and he's the sole running back. I think there's not much of a passing game over there in Carolina, so I think good things for Jonathan Stewart, again, so long as he can stay healthy, another injury guy. So
like that. That'll be an interesting – yeah, I'm curious about Jonathan Stewart this year. I picked him up late last year at some point. I don't recall if it was a trade or a waiver. And I had high hopes for him because there was a lot of hype on him during the second half of the season. But going into the draft this year, there was preseason, there's a ton of hype around Jonathan Stewart. And you know how it is when you have a player a year ago or 2 years ago and they didn't perform, you're kind of jaded towards them. So I'm a little jaded towards Stewart a little bit, but there's a ton of hype around him.
Sure. As I say, these players are dead to me. If they haven't served me well, I will never pick them up again. There's a short list, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Who's number one on your list of players dead to you? Would it be Zach Stacy?
It would be Zach Stacy.
The burn of all burns. What round did you draft him in last year? What round
second
did you round. Actually get him? The
second
round pickup, yeah. And he was traded by what, week four?
Week two. Week two to you, though.
Yeah, I grabbed him, and then I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I bought the hype. That was my education in trading with Commissioner Stacy, is you'll build all the hype up on a player, even if they're not performing. You're like, oh, geez, I got to have them. And guess what? There's nothing there.
Yep. Lay the groundwork. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, well, let's look at wide receivers very quickly. I mean, the obvious one is Antonio Brown, and of course, he's already played, and he did pretty good. Everybody's hot on Odell Beckham, obviously. I'm not sure.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm just not buying. I don't feel the vibe with him. He was showy last year. That's what
showy,
he was. He was really showy. I just don't know if he's going to be consistent. Yeah.
Cruz is hurt, I know, but Cruz will be back. And if Cruz is healthy this year, I think he takes a lot of touches away. And that Giants team still isn't very good, let's be honest. I don't see it. Especially this draft position. He was being drafted very high. So I'm not sold on him one bit. I am sold on guys like Jordan Matthews, I think, with Sam Bradford. I think he's going to have a good year. Interesting to see what Jeremy Maclin's going to do, being that he's with Steve Smith now. And A.J. Green on your team. I'm pretty high on him this year. I think he's going to have a pretty big year.
Yeah, I'm pretty big on A.J. Green. I think he'll do pretty good. And that was going to be my next question to you with Steve Smith Sr. You know, he's aging, man. Is he going to perform 40? like everybody's? There's a lot of talk about him, too, this year.
Yeah, he's saying he's going to retire. He always brings his A game. I mean, he's always ready to play. He's always going to talk smack as well. But, I mean, can you really deny it? I mean, I'd love to say no. I think he's not going to have a great of a year. But Flacco doesn't have really much anyone else to throw to. They lost their top. I can't remember the guy's name. He's down over in San Francisco, though, now. And so, Steve Smith, I think, is probably going to have another decent year. I mean, probably a wide receiver two, wide receiver three type season. But he'll have a fine season.
Well, let's shift very quickly. Last position we're going to take a look at is quarterback. And, you know, Tom Brady is projected to be top dog this week. I think he had something to prove. I think he wanted, you know, all right. So we're done with Deflategate. I want to play ball now, and I want to show the commissioner and everybody else that I'm here to play. Which, oddly enough, Goodell wasn't at the season opener, now was he? At least I don't recall seeing him.
He wasn't there.
But what I'm stunned by is Matt Ryan is projected to be the second highest scoring quarterback this week. And I know he's playing Philly. See, I got an opinion on Philly, on their defense, and I think people aren't giving them enough credit. I think the Philly defense is going to be one of those mid-season defenses that everyone's going to be kind of fighting over because
yeah,
they got, there's something there.
Seven, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so, and again, then you get the regulars at the top. Tony Romo's always at the top of the list, but Tony Romo always disappoints. I have no love for that. He's on my list of people that I just don't want anything to do with. Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Ryan Tannehill. But I'm shocked that Aaron Rodgers is so far down the list. And Andrew Luck is so far down the list. Now, obviously, Luck's playing Buffalo. Buffalo's got a stout D. But Aaron Rodgers against the Chicago defense, the worst-ranked defense, I just don't buy it.
Luck against a Rex Ryan defense, you know, up in Buffalo. That game I could see. Rodgers, although he's going to go off, he's going to have a big game. And, you know, if he's not penciled in to be one of the top quarterbacks, then ESPN's just got it flat out wrong. One that I know that nobody's giving any love to, Peyton Manning. Yes, he's 37, 39, however old he is. Yes, his neck is about to fall off if he takes a few more hard hits. He can still throw the ball, and he's still got a lot of good receivers over there. He's not getting any love, and I think that's a mistake by people. I mean, DB Jeff smartly picked him up, and I think that was a good pick, and I think it was a fifth-round pickup.
Peyton Manning's one of those where you kind of need to have a handcuff for the quarterback.
You do.
There is
you
such
absolutely
a thing.
Do.
Because he's going to go down, you know, and there's all the – at some point he'll go down, absolutely. I do like Peyton Manning. In fact, I've got him in my other league. I didn't really want to, but it was the best available by that time. So, but I think he'll be consistent at a minimum. He'll be consistent.
Question for you, though. One – and you clearly must not be too high. Well, you drafted him, but then you dropped him. Sam Bradford, I picked him up immediately when I saw you when you dropped him. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. So, again, so long as this guy's talking about staying healthy, I mean, this guy's been injured his entire career. But he can play.
It wasn't an easy one. I had too much going on. I wanted to grab something from the waiver that got me a little bit more jazzed up than Sam Bradford. And I know he's got great potential. But I really wanted to grab something special and have something that would break out for me. And that's when I grabbed the Buffalo's quarterback. You know, that's when I said, you know what, I think this guy, Tyrod Taylor, we'll give him a couple weeks and see how he does. That was the logic behind it, you know, and the other issue was the bye weeks. Sam Bradford had the same bye week as Aaron Rodgers.
Gotcha.
So
Gotcha.
Yeah, about halfway through the draft, I looked at the bye week column, and it was like 7-7-7-7-7, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm screwed.
It's one of those things you think you have the best team during a draft, and then all of a sudden you look at your bye weeks and go, oh, no.
It should be one of those factors that you really do put a high priority on, but for me, I always overlook that one in my drafts, and it happens to me every year. Last year it was like week 9, you know, and 90% of my team was on bye on week 9. So,
yep, I usually trade my way out of those problems.
Well, I want to talk with you. Yeah, then that's what I looked at. Week 7's a ways away. We can make a lot of moves before then. Now, I want to talk to you about something because I'm pretty upset about something, and I want to kind of bounce this off.
I knew about this, and I wanted to ask you about this.
I'm really mad. All right, so we had everybody knows we're Pat. A lot of us are Pats fans, except for homeless guy Keith. He's a Pittsburgh fan, and I don't know about everybody else, but most of us are Pats fan. And so we had Spygate, we had Deflategate, and you know we all kind of rolled our eyes. And all summer long, every one of our friends who's a fan of some other competing team is like, every joke you can imagine about a deflated football. You know, we had to endure that. And
heard them all.
Finally, yeah, we heard them all. It goes to court. Now, my understanding is this court, this judge was a judge that both the NFL and the Patriots agreed upon. You know, this wasn't just some random judge out of nowhere. This was part of their of their legal process as part of their contract.
No,
I believe
no.
That's
actually,
correct, right?
Arbiters are selected. No, arbiters are selected. Judges, you don't have a chance to really select. You can select a forum. And once this decision came down, when the NFL knew that Brady and the NFLPA were going to appeal, they were going to go to Minnesota. That's where they've gotten – the NFLPA has gotten the most – beneficial decisions for them. So they raced to Minnesota, but what happened is that the NFL beat them to the punch. They thought they'd get a better decision in New York. They picked this judge, if you want to call it that.
Okay. So in the end, Brady wins, right?
Brady wins.
And
home
so
run.
Brady shows up day one, just like – and I was giving you guys a hard time on the text thread the other day about, you know, look, guys, this is just football. Why is everybody so worked up? It's just football, man. But you got to understand, people like Belichick, people like Brady, people like Gronkowski, you know, these are the guys that show up week to week, heart and soul, and put everything into it. And of course, when you're on top, what does everybody else do? They throw stuff at you.
Yep.
And then I see the press conference, right? I see the press conference with Mike Tomlin, coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So let me ask you a question. If somebody implies something about another person but then won't give you any details, what would you call that person?
A fraud.
Fraud? I like the word coward. In fact,
coward,
I'm going to call
better.
Out Mike Tomlin. I'm going to say he's a coward because he sits there and he's complaining about his headset doesn't work. By the way, headsets are – the whole process is managed by the NFL. The Patriots have absolutely nothing to do with that equipment. And so he's complaining about his headset, and he implies that the Patriots had something to do with it. You know what? And I think every fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers needs to stand up and say, you know what? This guy isn't good for us. He's toxic for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at Belichick, you look at Brady, you look at Gronkowski, you look at any member of the New England Patriots. When they fail, they tell you that they failed. When they win, they win because they're prepared. If this guy wasn't prepared enough for hand signals, then that's his fault. He's a fraud. I like that word fraud. And he's a fraud and he's a coward for standing up there and making that implication right when the Patriots were coming out to prove that they're the team to beat out there this year. In fact, I hope the Patriots take every team in the NFL, run them through a meat grinder, churn them out, and stand at the end of the season and say, what else have you got? Because it sounds like a conspiracy is what it sounds. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, everybody's jealous. Haters are going to hate. I mean, and Tomlin, this guy, not a season or two ago when I think it was James Jones, or probably incorrect on that, but is running down the sideline, going to score a touchdown, and he trips him in front of 80,000 people, in front of network television, trips this guy.
And he gets away with it.
Onto the field and got away with it. And then he's going to accuse us of cheating.
Not only did he get away with it, but then when you watch that clip, he's smiling like the Cheshire Cat, like grinning, like look what I just got away with. Okay, look, let's look at Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl last year. Pete Carroll made the wrong call, right? Everybody knows that. Pats were ready for it.
Sure.
Pete Carroll makes the call. Pete Carroll in the conference. And you know me, I don't like Pete Carroll as a coach. I just don't think a lot of him, but I don't think he's a horrible man. And he sits there and says, I made the wrong call. See, I'll respect that. I'll respect when a man loses and says, I made the wrong call. Whereas Mike Tomlin, coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, stands up and any time his team loses, he's got an excuse for something that somebody else did. To me, that guy, he shouldn't be there. I think all of Pittsburgh should stand up and say, get that guy out of there. He does not. He is not a coach. He's not a Major League Football coach. That's how I feel about it. He's not in the caliber of Shula and Belichick and you know, Mike Ditka. He's not in that caliber. That guy's got to go. That's it. I mean, that's my opinion. But I swear to God,
look at his predecessor. Would Bill Cowher have said that?
Yep.
Never.
Exactly.
He would have owned it.
Cowher would have owned
it.
This guy won't own anything. So you know what? I just wanted to get off this rant because I'm telling you right now, when I saw him in that press conference, why does he have to stir it up? He's acting like a 15-year-old suburban girl, stirring up the mess. You know, after everything's all said and done, he's like, oh, my headset didn't work, and then implying that the Patriots had something to do with it. You know what, Mike Tomlin? Get lost. You're pathetic is what you actually are. Goodbye, Pittsburgh. If the Steelers fans are smart, they're going to take care of this issue.
Yep, and I welcome Mr. Pence, Mr. Homeless Man Pence, to come and rebut this point next week. And I know you can't, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, he'll say a lot, but I'm not sure if there'll be anything in what he says. He's got to get a new burner cell phone for his cardboard box in the alley. All right, Commissioner. Well, that's about wraps up our time. You have anything else you want to add to our discussion here before we break up?
I just want to wish everybody in the league best of luck. Have a great season. And I'm happy to be back on the podcast. I was really looking forward to this. So thank you, sir.
All right, man. Well, good talking with you, and we will talk with you next week.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, all right, that wraps up our time together this week. I want to extend a thank you to Commissioner Stacy for joining me, and want to extend a thank you to all the members of our league who take the time every week to make this probably one of the best fantasy football leagues that we've got going out there. Also, thanks to all of our fans and listeners, all 14 of you. We hope to grow to at least 20 next week. Want to remind all the members of our league that you are welcome to join us on the podcast on any week. Just let us know. We'll send you the dial-in information. You can join us on the podcast on any given week. Just let us know what week you're available. Well, that's it, everybody. We're looking forward to a fantastic season two as we kick off this year, and we hope that you enjoy the podcast as much as we enjoy making it. We'll see you all next time.